Thank you for listening to Ivy Podcast, where we feature weekly leadership conversations with thought leaders and industry experts. Now, here is your host, Angela Alberti.
All right, Ivy Podcast listeners, thank you guys so much for tuning into another episode of the Ivy Podcast. I am your host, Angela Alberti. Like always, wherever you're tuning in from around the world, we want to thank you guys for spending some time with us. And if you've had a chance to tune into some of the episodes that I've had the chance to sit with many leaders across the board with, you know we're all about the workforce ecosystem, all of the intricacies that are involved with putting the people to work every single day. And that's exactly what we're going to be discussing in today's episode. I have the awesome honor and privilege to sit down with Pankaj. Pankaj, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, absolutely. First of all, Angela, thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here. My name is Pankaj. I am one of the founders of Sense. Sense is a talent engagement and communication platform, and I'll hope to talk to you a lot more about that. But you know, I've spent my entire career in the human capital space and just delighted to be here today.
Well, thank you so much for spending some time with us. I'm really excited about this episode. I think we're going to dive into a lot of great topics that are relevant in the now for those that are within this workforce ecosystem. But one of the questions that I always like to start off with is, how did you get here? I mean, is staffing and recruiting is one of those industries where you're not 8 years old and you're hoping to be into it. How did you find yourself within this realm?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Everybody gets into staffing and recruiting by accident. Yes. As did I. You know, I was a computer science engineer by trade. I, you know, grew up doing programming. And then I was working for an organization where we used to do a tiny portion of staffing. And that's kind of where I started managing that. Fun fact, I actually used to be a contractor myself for about a year. So when it comes to staffing, I feel like I have sat in every single chair. But that's kind of where I started. You know, I started with a small company and then I ran two companies of my own. So I started two staffing firms, you know, built them up from scratch. We grew up to be, you know, anywhere between $80 to $100 million in revenue. So pretty large size firms.
Wow.
And then, you know, once I ended sort of exiting from both of these companies, the thing that was always on my mind was there were a couple of things that distinguished the companies that I ran from everybody else in the industry. One, we were always every single year winning the best place to work for award. This idea that we can absolutely attract people on the basis that, you know, hey, we're one of the best places to work for. But that came with a lot of manual labor. We had a group of people that were called employee relation executives, and their whole job was essentially calling up people, finding out if they're doing well, if they, you know, need a paycheck delivered over to them, if they need a slice of pizza or a donut. I mean, this was just a very manual effort. So, you know, what we started thinking about was, how do we change this using technology? How do we democratize this? And how do we help every staffing company become the best version of themselves? That's how Sense started with my other co-founders. You know, we essentially started with this vision that we would absolutely make every company a best version of themselves. We will increase recruiter productivity. We will increase recruiter compensation because they will not be doing any sort of humdrum work anymore, so on and so forth. That was the basis of where Sense got started. And, you know, obviously we've come a long way since then. We now work with multiple different, work in multiple different countries, have over 700 different customers, and, you know, over 40,000 recruiters use our platform every single day.
So this is kind of where I start to geek out because in my mind, I think of future of work. I think of the workers' experience enhanced by technology, and you guys are totally starting to do that. So kudos to you and everything that you've built along the way. Also, shout out to the pizza and donut tactic that you guys utilized to make sure folks stayed retained. That would definitely keep me on board. All right. But now that we're thinking about the future of work, as I mentioned, that this is my, I guess, definition of what does it mean to you? It's almost philosophical, if you will. There's so many different variances. But when we think about the essence of the future of work, to Pankaj, what does that mean?
Yeah. And, you know, I would be a little philosophical about it in the beginning myself. And to me, I'm actually looking at the world of work getting more and more consumerized. That's the term that I use a lot. Essentially, now candidates deserve and expect the same exact experience from a staffing company as they expect from Amazon.com.
Yeah.
You know, hey, if I want you to remember my preferences and say, email me, don't text me, then do that. If I want you to text me and but not email me, then do that. If I want you to reach out after hours, not during work hours, then do that. Remember my preferences, treat me just like a consumer company would. But you have to do that across hundreds of thousands and millions of, you know, candidates. Second, it is absolutely a candidate's market now, right? I mean, there is no doubt about the fact that, you know, in the war for talent, the talent has absolutely won. You know, every company that you talk to today has a short supply of talent. They're looking for that needle in the haystack, so on and so forth. So, you know, as we think about it, you know, it just becomes obvious that while talent is the key, while experience is the key, what is pretty sad is that this experience is still pretty broken, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, 61% of the candidates report today that after they apply to a job, they never hear back from the company.
Wow.
I mean, those people are never going to come work for you. There are 60% of the candidates who will actually withdraw after getting an offer based on, you know, what their hiring experience looked like. So my point here is, you know, we are moving to a future, we are moving to a world of work where we need to be more catered towards the candidates. We need to provide them a consumer-like experience. And to do that, we essentially need to make sure that we take the help of technology. This isn't something that we can do by ourselves. This isn't something that recruiters can do by themselves. They're just going to be marred between disparate systems, just having to, you know, flow information from one place to the other, so on and so forth. The second, I think, big thing here is, you know, we've all lived through a pandemic, and the pandemic has precipitated digital transformation.
Yeah.
You know, wherever you were in your digital transformation journey, it just happened to you quickly. Overnight, you found out that you can't talk to your candidates, you can't talk to your customers. Heck, you can't even talk to your own employees. They're all distributed, they're all remote. How are you going to do something cohesive and move forward in the same direction? You just have to use technology. So here it is, candidate expectations are at an all-time high. You have a remote workforce, you have digital, you know, transformation happening. How do you bring all of this together? You have to bring all of this together by using technology as your differentiator. Every company today that is essentially using technology to reach out to candidates or attract candidates is absolutely the winner. Angela, this is, you know, super interesting. One of the things we talk about is most companies will tell you that they're either facing a feast or a famine when it comes to candidates. You know, they either will open a job and have hundreds of people apply to them, or they'll open a job and have very few people apply to them. And in both cases, you know, you absolutely need some sort of an automation or a technology solution. I'll give you an example. If you have 400 people who apply to a job, you know, what's a recruiter going to do with them? You absolutely need a technology to figure out, hey, I'm going to pre-screen all of these people automatically, maybe using a chatbot, maybe using a conversational assistant, and then find out the 10 people who this recruiter should talk to.
Wow.
And on the other hand, you know, let's say you open up a job, nobody's applying. You just have to cast a wider net. You have to find, you know, earlier you were reaching out to 100 people to find this person. Now you have to reach out to 1,000. Again, just can't be done by an individual. So I think the future of work has changed completely. We're now looking at, you know, a candidate market. We're now looking at a market where experience has a quantifiable value and automation is no longer an option. So everybody who's, I think, thinking about it from a technology first standpoint is eventually going to be a winner.
They are going to be, without a doubt, leading the pack. I think you hit the nail on the head in terms of how automation can only enhance the day in the life of the recruiter. If we take it just a few years back, maybe when you were in the space or in the starting off in the recruiting, I mean, it was monotonous.
It was administratively
minutia every single day. And now that process is only enhanced to further allow the recruiter to develop that rapport and that human element to what we are doing every single day. So when I open up the news And I don't mean to bring the boogeyman into the picture, but we know the Great Resignation and we've all heard about it and we all see how that's impacted us. But what do you think are realistically some of those retention strategies that come into play, knowing how competitive the candidate marketplace is and what we're doing to make sure that we can not only hire talent, but realistically keep talent?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the Great Resignation was around for a little bit. It obviously gave way to the Great Realization.
You know, the Great Renaissance, as I've heard as well.
Absolutely. But, you know, I mean, this kind of goes back to what you and I were just chatting about a minute ago, right? I mean, if you give candidates the right experience and the right level of engagement, you're likely to retain people. I mean, retention is probably as key as hiring somebody, especially when you think about the world of contingent work. You know, you can either have, you know, the same position being filled five times over the course of a year, or you can have the same person being redeployed or just, you know, led to a position five times over. So listen, I mean, if you were the CEO of a human capital company, they're going to tell you that retention is absolutely key. It leads to lesser cost per hire. It leads to more gross margin. It leads to higher net promoter score. You're going to have a bunch of people saying, this company takes care of me. As soon as I'm about to finish my assignment, they tell me, you know, that they're working on my next assignment. There is one ready. I love being here, right? So, I mean, retention from that standpoint is just absolutely going to be your key tactic in becoming a company that grows over time. The other thing I would tell you is, you know, and we were talking about this a little bit earlier, you know, recruiters are now so bogged down by like 15 different things that they're doing that you absolutely, again, need to use some amount of technology to get your retention in place. So, for instance, you know, we come across customers who do this very interesting process called time study. So what they'll do is they'll take a bunch of their recruiters, like 20, 30 recruiters, they'll study them for a month. So for 30 days straight, they'll study where they're spending all of their time every single day. And then they'll find out that, you know, 70 to 80% of their time is being spent in prospecting candidates, screening candidates, scheduling candidates. I mean, doing stuff that is so mundane that can be done using technology that they have no time to worry about retention. They have absolutely no time to worry about, you know, how do we drive somebody into our company and just make sure that they can be here for the next 3-5 years. So this, to me, is the number one way for you to drive your gross margin up.
Wow. It's almost like we're looking at a workforce that wants you to remember their birthday, keep an absolutely close-knit relationship with them, but all complemented through the convenience of technology. I mean, and think about the generational impact. We now have millennials and Gen Zers that are the biggest portion of the workforce who grew up on the internet, who know how to rate on Yelp and how to rate things on Amazon and then go back to that consumerism-esque experience, which is really exciting to see technologies like yours come into play to help drive that. I'm almost interested to ask around some of the mechanics, right? What exactly are some of those nuances that Sense can help enable when it comes to retention, when it comes to maximizing my human capital inventory, making sure that my folks are either re-extended, redeployed? How do you guys, let's go under the covers a bit and figure out how you guys do that.
Yeah, no, that's a great question. And you know, you said something really interesting before. We are now living in an era of hyper-personalization. You know, when you wish somebody happy birthday, it's not like they don't realize this is done via technology, but that's exactly what they want, right? I mean, wish me happy birthday on a Saturday if it's on a Saturday and not not because your recruiter isn't available on a Saturday. So, you know, do it using technology. I mean, and that's totally fine. And you said something that I completely agree with, this whole generational sort of fluctuations, if you will, because there are going to be people who are like, yeah, text me. That's what I grew up on. You know, tell me happy birthday. And then there are going to be people who are going to tell you, I don't want to hear from you. I only want to hear from you on these three occasions if these three things happen. And this is the beauty of technology. It allows you to essentially store everybody's preferences. Now, we could call them Gen X and Y and Z and boomers and whatnot, or we can call them just personal preferences, but you know, automation will actually allow you to do that.
Yeah.
To your other question, which I think is very interesting, you know, there are lots of best practices in enabling retention. So number one, obviously, communication is key, right? I mean, you have to follow the talent through their talent journey. I'll walk you through like a simple journey and you'll see how everything in here drives retention. So here are what a lot of forward-thinking companies would do today. You just made somebody an offer. They're about to join in 2 weeks and they will absolutely start engaging with that person right away. Hey, congratulations, you got an offer. We'll see you in 2 weeks. We're super stoked. All right. 3 days later, they're probably sending them a video message from the CEO, which is obviously automated, pre-recorded, but it's saying, hey, Angela, you just got a job with our company. I just found that out. So awesome. I'm so happy to welcome you to the family. These are the values of our company, right? I mean, it obviously makes you feel a little fuzzy and mushy about this thing. Then we go, hey, by the way, a week left for you to join. When you join, this person is going to be your manager. Here is their LinkedIn profile, so on and so forth. And, you know, so on and so forth. Now, what technology can enable you to do is it can figure out and say, wait a minute, we made this person an offer. We sent them 3 messages. They have not opened or read any of these messages. Hmm. Guess what? They might be checked out. They might not be joining. They might have a competitive offer. And a lot of our customers are then able to call these individuals and say, hey, you know, just checking in, are you still going to be showing up on Monday? And at that point, most people are honest and they're either like, yeah, you know, sorry, missed your messages, I'm still on. Or, hey, you know, thanks for calling, I got something else. Maybe it pays me more, maybe my commute is less, but whatever the case might be. Now you have a window of opportunity to find a replacement for this person and actually not disappoint your customer or your own hiring manager. So, you know, there is, you know, technology is sort of enabling you to help with that. All right, let's move forward. Let's assume this person actually joins. They've joined, and now you can do a 1-day check-in, a 7-day check-in, a 30-day check-in. And this is typically how it goes. You do a 1-day check-in and say, how was your day? And if somebody says 5 on 5, it was great, fantastic. If somebody says 1 on 5 or 2 on 5, and you ask them what happened, you'll find things like, my email wasn't ready, my laptop wasn't ready, I was just sitting around twiddling my thumbs, or I didn't know what to do, so on and so forth. Keep in mind, these are people who are just in the recruiting process. They can just as easily walk out of your company and go to another offer that they probably had, that they probably declined to come over to your firm. These first few days are really critical in making a good first impression. And the last thing you want to do is have a small issue become a festering problem. So again, you know, very easy for technology to uncover that and say, hey, you had 100 people join today, 20 of them didn't have a good experience, reach out to them immediately, fix whatever's going on. You do that 7 days later, 30 days later, they're probably already sort of imbibed in the company. And now you're saying, send us a referral if you like working here. Mm-hmm. You know, can we get more of your friends here? So, you know, my point is, you follow the talent journey. And as you follow the talent journey, you know, talent is going to feel connected to your firm, and that greatly helps with retention. So, you know, this is essentially where technology can come and help play. These are some of the things that, you know, our customers do with Sense regularly. And this obviously compounds, Angela, if you think about organizations that have 100 different branch offices, 400 different locations, 30,000, 40,000, 50,000 contractors. I mean, for them to get an overall sense of, is our retention increasing? Is our attrition decreasing? These can be some really powerful tools.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you guys are maintaining the entire life cycle management and rapport with candidates, with that, which at the end of the day, it's essentially step one. It sounds so simple and fundamental, but they need somebody there. They need to know that somebody's there, and communicating with them constantly is the only way to get there. And it's so critical in today's age, because we know how competitive the marketplace is, especially with sectors that you guys, that you started off with in IT. I mean, there's simply just not enough supply for the demand, and being able to hold their hand and ensure that this is going to be a successful endeavor for all parties is really critical, but also taking that consultative approach with your client to know that XYZ could have been onboarded better or handled better. Very, very powerful assets to have, especially as that intermediary. Okay, so I'd love to get a little bit more of a feel of the omni-channel approach and ensuring that companies can help reduce bias and reach the best talent in the way that best resonates with their organization or perhaps the initiatives that they're going for. Can you help dive into that a little bit further?
Yeah, I mean, 100%. First of all, this is kind of what I started talking about. You have to have an omni-channel approach today, right? I mean, somebody tells you, text me, you just have to text them. I mean, you can't be like, well, I'm just going to email you anyway. there are people who want you to text them. There are people who want you to email them. There are people who want you to survey them. There are people who want you to engage with them using a chatbot. So obviously, when you think about technology, you have to think about it using an omni-channel approach, first of all. Secondly, this is just critical to business today. I'll give you examples. During the pandemic, we saw a lot of our customers who were in the healthcare space, and the healthcare workers were only getting their breaks at midnight, at odd hours, right? I mean, now, you're a healthcare worker, you've probably been at the COVID front line for a number of different months.
Right.
You're wanting to do something different. You have your break at midnight. Who are you going to talk to? There is no recruiter for you to talk to, right? That's where technology steps in, because you can actually talk to a chatbot, or what we call AI conversational assistant. It's natural language based. It feels like talking to a human being. It's absolutely a technology. There is no bones about it, but you can actually talk to a technology at midnight. Now, what happens when you talk to them? Very simple pre-screening questions like, are you authorized to work in the US? How much money do you want? What kind of role do you want? Do you have credentials for a certain hospital? So on and so forth. And if you can get to a disposition where the chatbot says, great, you're a candidate we're interested in, we'd love to move this conversation further, the next magical thing happens, which is the chatbot says, pick a time that works for you to talk to our recruiter, not a time that works for my recruiter. You now have a laundry list of options. You know that your schedule is crazy, but you can pick up that one time. Hey, Thursday, 3 p.m., I know I can take a 20-minute break. All right, Thursday, 3 p.m. is when you're talking to the recruiter. What's the other thing it does? You're very likely to show up now. You are the one who made the meeting. You're the one who sort of picked the time. Mm-hmm. If you talk to recruiters, recruiters will tell you that, hey, 10, 20, 30% of the people don't show up for meetings. 10, 20, 30% of the people always ask us to reschedule meetings. A lot of that goes away. The other thing automation does and the omni-channel approach does is today there is, if you Google it, you will find data that it takes about 7 emails to schedule a meeting today.
Gosh, you have to go back
and forth 7 times. Does Tuesday work? Nah, how's Wednesday? 3 p.m. Nah, how's 3 doesn't work? How's 4? Instead of doing all of that, you pick a time. Mm-hmm. So this is just one simple example of where an omni-channel approach helps. I'll give you a second example. This is big around redeployment. So, redeployment has always been a mystery within the staffing industry, within the contingent workforce industry. You are going to find billion-dollar organizations who have tens of thousands of contractors, and they'll tell you that their redeployment is in low single digits. Yep. I mean, just let that stat sink in for a second. You have 10,000 people working for you. Every single one of these people is going to finish their assignment this year, because very rarely are contingent assignments more than a year. You're only going to redeploy, say, 5% of those people. 500 of them will come back and work for you, and the remaining 9,500 are gone. So your recruiters are just running on a treadmill, hiring those people back into other positions or replacing them with somebody else, and your revenue staying completely flat. Again, sort of technology to the rescue. What a lot of our customers at Sense will do now is they'll use an automatic job matching algorithm. So 30 days before anybody is coming out, an algorithm automatically matches that person's profile to every single open job you have, not just every single open job that your recruiter has. I am the recruiter for this candidate called Angela. I recruited you. I have 5 open positions. Angela's finishing her assignment. I'm going to think about the 5 positions I have open. And if you fit there, fine. And if you don't, I got to let you go. But this technology is going to match you against all the 1,000 opportunities that my organization has open and automatically send you an email and say, Angela, your assignment's finishing in 30 days. Don't even worry about it. We're on top of it. We've already found 5 jobs that are a good fit for you. Which one do you want? Imagine what this does to the candidate. First of all, they're now more beholden to you. They're essentially saying, all right, somebody's taking care of me. They're not going to your competitor. They're not going to the job boards. And then the second thing that they have to do is literally pick and choose from those five jobs and say, I like 1, 3, and 4. Great. We'll submit you to 1, 3, and 4. Boom, you're back into the recruiting process. So, you know, that's another sort of, you know, big deal in my opinion. Mm-hmm. And then lastly, I talk a lot about this, which is just recruiter bias. You know, every human being will have some level of unconscious bias. You know, you're recruiting for a position, you're probably in your head going, nah, I don't think a woman can do it. I don't think a certain age person can do it. So on and so forth. Technology, chatbots, there is no bias, right? I mean, they're going to talk to everybody. They're going to screen every candidate. And if you say the right things, the disposition is going to be, yes, we want to move forward with you. Now you're in the recruiting process already. Now you're already talking to a recruiter and you've cleared pre-screening. So long story short, you just have to build your tech stack using a strategy that absolutely encompasses an omni-channel approach.
You know, I'm so excited for the staffing agency owners that are tuning in to today's episode because, wow, did you just hit the nail on the head when it comes to pre-screening, redeployment, and everything in between for the candidate experience. It truly is fascinating. I'd love to take a step back and get a little more personal, if you will. I mean, you are, dare I say, a serial entrepreneur, and there very likely is entrepreneurs tuning into today's episode. And through that process, I know with recently with Sense, you guys have been able to attain a solid footing and a solid backing. Can you walk us through that experience and what it's like for you as an entrepreneur? And secondly, if there's any advice that you would give yourself or those that are listening in that are perhaps in a similar set of motivated endeavors, what advice would that be?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I'll first talk about our journey a little bit. And, you know, our journey has been just the same as I think everybody who jumps into the entrepreneurship well. You know, it's a little scary. It's very uncertain. As much as it sounds like a cliche, it literally started at the back of a napkin. You know, there were two of us sitting down and saying, this thing is pretty broken. I think we can fix this. And then there were like the four of us were founders of the company, whiteboarding the ideas for a couple of days and saying, well, this is possible via technology, and this is possible, and this is possible. And if we did that, I think this will change this industry and this will shake it up. And, you know, once you do that, and once you have that fundamental belief, then it is just a question of starting on this journey and just not stopping, right? Now, you know, we had some advantages that I'll be the first to admit to, right? When we started building the product, we could very clearly identify product market fit, which is something a company spend long time in. But, you know, if I put myself in my CEO shoes from my previous life, I was essentially saying, great, if you presented the solution back to me, my own solution, would I look at this and say, yeah, it automates some of the things that my company does today, and I'm willing to pay you money for it. So, you know, product market fit for us came a little bit easier. Mm-hmm. That's number one. Number two is, you know, we went after a market that is huge. I mean, you talk about this a lot more than I do, so you probably know this more than I do, but, you know, there are tens of thousands of staffing companies in the US, in UK, all over the world. There is hundreds of billions of dollars of spend that goes through this industry. So if you can be the solution that even can affect 1% more in gross margin, 1% more in profitability, this is a low margin business, you suddenly become the most important software in the company's arsenal.
Yeah.
You know, when I was running staffing companies, if somebody came to me and said, hey, give me $10 and I'll give you $20 back, I would have said, here you go, right? I mean, 2x ROI, I'll take that all day long. Sense has 30 to 40x ROI. Customers who spend $10,000 with us routinely see $300,000 in gross margin added to them. So anyway, you know, what I'm saying is, one, it was the fundamental belief that we can change the industry. Two, we certainly had experience. You know, I had ran these companies for 15 years. Three, we had a large addressable market. And once we got started, Then it was just a question of, you know, following that journey, get the first few customers who believe in you, have them be a pilot customer. We didn't charge them anything. We got started with them. And, you know, sooner than later, we got to a point where all of them were like, we're willing to pay you money for this product because it saves us money. And that's when we raised our first round of funding. So over our last 6.5 years, Angela, in our 6-year journey, we've now raised 4 rounds of capital. So we raised series A, B, C, and D. And across these 4 rounds, we've raised about $90 million. Wow. You know, we've brought on some of the best blue chip investors you can hope to have on your board. We've got Axel Partners, we've got Google Ventures, we've got Avatar Venture Partners, as well as SoftBank. So, you know, we've got just the right partners along this journey. And, you know, we've picked all of these investors, not just because they were writing us the check, but also because they've become trusted advisors. They're absolutely there to challenge us. And now, you know, we feel like we're at the precipice of being a company that can absolutely be a pioneer in changing the future of work, the thing that you started by. So, you know, my advice to anybody who's wanting to jump into this black hole voluntarily is to do it. You know, absolutely do it. I mean, this is the most fun I've ever had in my professional career. It's been the hardest thing to do. It's, you know, been a journey where people have been challenging you every single day, you know, very different from just being the CEO of a company and of a staffing company and, you know, leading from the top. This has absolutely been a collaborative journey surrounded by, you know, people who are way smarter than I am. And that's how, you know, that's how we've gone along this journey. And I'll be the first one to say that if any of you listen to this and start on this journey, feel free to reach out to me. I mean, we absolutely believe in paying it forward. And if there is anything that I can help with specifically around your idea or any help or guidance or advice that I can give, I'll be the first one to do that.
Yeah, we all know the value of mentorship, and gosh, having you as a mentor would be an absolutely incredible experience. So I hope one of you guys take him up on the offer. It's so cool to hear about your journey and where you guys have gone through with Sense and the backing. Now let's go a little bit further into this. You've got the solid backing and considerable amount. Bravo, by the way. Very, very Thanks. Excited for what you guys have done so far. But we know that a critical component for any company's success rate is the culture and the culture behind the team. And maybe this is me selfishly asking you for some of your own thoughts and insights on this very important topic as a co-founder of a tech startup company as well. But what are some of those leadership strategies that you have learned and garnered with over the years that really creates a culture that not only is conducive and can be operational and of course has a good sense of camaraderie, but also is attuned to the company's values?
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad you asked that. I mean, Angela, we are very, very driven by our value system. By that, I mean, we now do a bi-weekly all hands meeting. So the entire company gets together. We have a culture of, you know, hyper transparency. Every single person in the company can tell you who our customers are, what our revenue is, what our profitability is, you know, what are we going to be doing next, what our roadmap is. So we do that every 2 weeks. But when we do, we first start this meeting by celebrating our values. You know, here are our 5 values, and who are the team members, who are the colleagues who lived up to those values in the prior 2 weeks. This is how much top of mind it is for everybody. And, you know, in this last 6 years, this hasn't been without a challenging times. You know, we went through a pandemic. As you know, we've gone through times when we had very little funding, you know, and people have stuck by the company because they've always believed in the culture that we've created. So the number one thing within our culture is we're in it together. We're absolutely, you know, that's our first and foremost value. We do every single thing together. We learn from our mistakes together. You know, we're empowered to make decisions, but you know, when you make decisions, if something goes wrong, you know, we all stand shoulder to shoulder and there is no sort of blame game. There is no name calling. So, you know, we just work together. That's the number one thing we do. The second big thing about our culture is we are customer obsessed. You know, even today, 6.5 years of running the company, 700 customers later, I can tell you without a doubt in my mind that if a customer emails comes out and they have a problem with something, something's going wrong, something's breaking, they have a bug, you will see one of the four founders of the company immediately jumping on that. Within seconds, one of the four founders is essentially going to be, okay, this is not going well. What can we do? Assign it to this person. Can you call this person? Can I call this person and tell them, hey, we're on top of this, but we're absolutely customer obsessed. Thirdly, we're drama free. We thought about this a lot before we sort of instituted this as a value within our company, but we are a no drama company, just open, honest, straightforward. We have no problem calling people out. We have no problem, being afraid of change. We recognize, we're going to have challenges come our way, but we just always approach them with honesty, with professionalism, but there is just no drama in the company. You're just going to find everybody very sort of straight, straightforward to the point. We always look for creative solutions. That's a big part of our culture. I know this gets overused, but, work smarter, not harder. I mean, how do we do this? How do we, delight our customers, by our product, delight our customers by our service, but do that in a creative fashion, do that in a fashion where, we make our product exceptional, but we're not doing this by spending 10x the time that anybody else would. So, and then lastly, we're true to ourselves. We absolutely value diversity. We have a huge culture of equity and inclusion within our firm. We want different ideas. We want imaginative ideas. We, want people who are quirky. I mean, within our company, we have people who've written, operas and can sing and can play 100 different kinds of instruments and paint and do robotics and so on and so forth. So, it's just been a great delight, I think, getting a quirky group of people together, making sure that they know everybody has an equal voice. There are no offices at Sense. It's a completely open door culture. Anybody can reach out to any of the founders. Anybody can reach out to the CEO and have a conversation within a second. And then just create something where we are enriching people's lives. At the end of the day, we build a software product, but last year, 3.2 million people got a job because of Sense. Wow. 3.2 million people were sitting in a candidate database somewhere and nobody was looking at them until some sort of a Sense automation, brought them back from the dead. We actually call them wake up the dead, and put it in front of a recruiter and said, here is this candidate. You have this, you probably paid money for this person because you got them from a job board 10 years ago. Have you thought about them? And 3.2 million of those people eventually got a placement, got a job. And that's exactly what we're here for. That's the most rewarding part of this role.
Wow. That is absolutely inspiring. And it's not just those 3.2 million people, it's their families, it's their livelihoods, it's the generational impacts that you guys are positively changing around the world. Bravo. And I mean, I am without a doubt inspired. I know that our listeners are. How can we find out more about Sense? And if we want to explore the platform in itself, how can we do that?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, check out our website. We are Sense HQ, like headquarters, sensehq.com. We have a ton of content on our website. It explains all of our products. We have a ton of case studies and white papers. We have customer testimonials. We also have a YouTube channel, and that channel is basically called Sense. You can find it easily. And there are dozens and dozens of recordings there about the product itself. So if you're actually curious about how a product would solve one of your particular use cases, you can absolutely see that in action there. And if any of that eventually piques your interest, you can go back to our website and request a demo. Should be pretty straightforward. There is something that literally says request a demo on every single page. And if you did that, one of us will be in touch with you right away and we'll be more than happy to show you the product. And from our standpoint, I mean, we're all about automation. We'd love to chat automation, show you the product, even if you're not trying to buy right now. So for us, it's not just about sales. It's about educating everybody because the future of work is changing. You may not be automating today, but you will be automating 3 years from now. I can tell you, we have customers today who tell us that Sense is the first software that they've bought after 40 years of being in business. 40 years they've been in this business. They've been doing the business the same exact way. People have been emailing them resumes, even faxing resumes. And, you know, they've been using spreadsheets and some sort of an archaic system that works for them to run their operations. But 40 years later, the first piece of software that they're buying is Sense. So, you know, so whether you're one of those companies or whether you're one of those companies that are very much on the leading edge or whether you're just, you know, kicking around the tires, let us know. We'll be more than happy to talk to you. So check out our website, sensehq.com. Check out our YouTube channel.
Sensehq.com. You've heard it here, folks. If y'all are on LinkedIn, I can tell you as well, they share some fantastic info. Give them a follow button. Pankaj, thank you so much for being on today's episode. It's been absolutely a delight to sit and talk with you. I hope that we have the opportunity to have you on the show again. And I also want to give a big thank you to our listeners for tuning in. I always end every single episode with this because I think it holds true, but time is the most valuable gift that we can all give to one another. So we appreciate you, Pankaj, and all of the wonderful insight that you shared, and of course, to our listeners as well.
Thank you so much, Angela. Thank you for having me. I'd love to be back on again whenever there's an opportunity. And thank you, everybody who took the time to listen. I appreciate it.
Awesome. Awesome. We'll see you guys on the next episode of the Ivy Podcast.
Thank you for listening to the Ivy Podcast. Be sure to subscribe to our RSS feed on ivypodcast.com and all major podcasting platforms like Spotify and iTunes. As always, if you enjoyed this podcast, please give us a rating on iTunes.